You can catch Nerd Radio live every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central. In between each segment will be samples of the songs you can hear during our live broadcast. Please enjoy.
This is the Get the Jitters Out segment of the live stream.
You get the technical difficulties out, yeah.
Get everything out of the way, fuck up real early, and then get into it or whatever. So, anyways, what the fuck was I saying? Oh, yeah, this might become a weekly segment for a little while, you know, but WandaVision. Oh, my God. I was talking about it last week. Episode 1 and 2 were really just, like, I felt like they were good all by themselves. They didn't need, you know, it was nice to have the little teasers at the end, but the little teasers at the end were just almost not enough. And then the third one, for some reason, it just didn't hit home to me. Obviously not until the very end, where, like, they really, like, what did you say? Like, that whole thing, like, until it started getting really weird, it was just kind of like, all right, she's pregnant, okay. Like, the situational comedy of episode 3, I just didn't really feel like it stood by itself. Yeah. Versus 1 and 2. Because, like, seeing Vision drunk or whatever was just hilarious. Absolutely, yeah. Hilarious. And that situational comedy of it kept it interesting, even though I was still interested in the mystery. And so then the third time around, it's like, you know, the mystery was there, yes, but then the situational comedy wasn't. So it's like, I felt like what made 1 and 2 so good, it was just like, eh. And then 4 comes around and I'm just like, yes, okay, this is exactly what I needed to, like, keep me invested, to keep me going, and just really, like, hammer home, okay, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah, how quickly they were able to paradigm shift, because, like, especially within the first, with the second episode, when the beekeeper comes out from the drain, it's like, it seems nefarious. Like, is someone, like, it makes you wonder, like, is someone controlling them? Like, is someone causing this? And that's, you know, to see that totally be, no, okay, Sword is, because at first I was like, wait, Sword, I thought was supposed to be a good, like, are right. They bad? And it's like, to change that. Now, the one thing I've got to say before I forget, shout out to whoever had the idea or is responsible for the, like, screen animation with what they do with the black bars. That is so fucking cool, especially at the end. So, like, they do a very similar thing with Westworld. I'll put this out there. There's a point in Westworld in season 2 where you actually go, like, they actually go in some kind of simulation. And what they do to differentiate is the real life is the widescreen IMAX kind of view. Gotcha. When they're in the simulation, it's widescreen black bars. So, like, whenever we're seeing that scene again with Geraldine, who we now know, or confirmed as Monica, we knew that, but, like, in the show.
Right, yeah, yeah.
When they show that scene again and it doesn't have the black bars on the side for the TV, but whenever, like, they go to sit down on the couch, when you see the black bars come from, like that to squeeze back up and it's the TV, like, right, changing back to the reality, it's like, that was so smooth, so well done.
Yeah.
Like, I I'm sorry. No. So I'm on my Mac, and all of my notifications synced with my calendar. So I just got a notification. What it reads is the first day of Black History Month tomorrow. But what I thought it said was something about flat Earth.
Okay, sure.
But no, like, how they were able to answer everything. And this episode as a whole was great. Like, yes, the moment that it starts and she's being blipped back in, and, like, and me and you were talking about before how we were really confused how she was materializing at first.
Yeah.
Completely forgetting about the blip, honestly. Like,
yeah, I mean, exactly. It was pretty much just like, oh, is this how she came to be in Wanda's world? And eventually it was going to fade back to, like, but, like, that was my thought process. I'm like, oh, it's like she's getting reverse snapped or whatever. I'm like, it's, well, the, like, blip.
How they were able to world build set up so easily and so simply, like, it was like, okay, okay, I'm in. Like, we see shield, or not shield, sword. We see sword. We know what it is. Mm-hmm. We know that we clearly, they didn't have to explain it to us that her mom started it because of, you know, Captain Marvel. And I was reading some Easter eggs. So you know that Monica's supposed to get powers at some point, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So apparently one of her, like, because I'm not really familiar with her in the comics, one of her names that she goes by is Photon.
Right.
And when they showed the name tag when she's walking by, it's like, what was her mom's name?
Something Photon. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, and so it's like, okay, so they're already planting those kind of seeds, which yeah. I enjoy, because for all intents and purposes, Monica is a Avatar character to us, to the viewers. Mm. She's someone that comic fans know, but as far as the general MCU viewers, it's like, mm-hmm. this is our first introduction, and we're potentially going to go from normal to superhero mm-hmm. in a natural transition. Like, we're going to grow with this character.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
But yeah, it's,
I also just like the juxtaposition between when they did the blip in Spider-Man, they kind of just played it off for laughs, mm-hmm. even though, like, this is a very serious situation. And in this one, to see it in a very, very much chaotic state was so interesting. 'Cause it's like, yeah, people would be freaking the fuck out if somebody just materialized back, which, granted, obviously they got blipped out. So now everybody's coming back. They're trying to figure stuff out. She ended up, she was in the hospital 'cause her mom just got out of surgery. She comes out and she's like, she died 3 years ago. Yeah. It's like,
well, maybe it's also because we're like mid pandemic still. And like, it's like one of those, we understand the chaos of not having room. Mm-hmm. And so whenever they were like, everyone's coming back, we don't have the capacity, it added an extra layer of stress. It's like, we understand that.
Mm-hmm. I did like, because there's tons of people on the internet that, well, what about the people who were in an airplane when they blipped back? And the white dude basically said that her mom shut down all air traffic control because she always basically hoped that people would come back.
Yeah.
So it's like, so basically it's, we're assuming that people materialized back in the plane that they came from. And I'm like, that was interesting. You know, you could still make the argument that no, they would blip back to where they were at the time they blipped. So if they were in the air or whatever, but no, like, that's a good explanation. You know, is it scientific or whatever? Like, whatever. I'm not going to pull any hairs on that one. 'Cause it's like, that was an interesting little thing for the people who are paying attention. 'Cause it's like one line and then it's done. You know what I mean? Like, but for the people who are paying attention, like, okay, yeah, that's what I needed. I needed something like that to be like, okay, you know, what about the people who are in the air or whatever? Like, that was an interesting, you know, way to explain it away, basically.
What I also really enjoyed is the bringing back of a lot of characters. Like, Darcy, mm-hmm. I love Kat Dennings, so it was great to see her. And I thought she added so much to the episode. She was so, like, witty, and
TV, one that's not flat.
yeah, that juxtaposition I really like. Whenever the director comes in, it's like, all right, everybody, what's going on? And all you hear is ha 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 ha, like canned laughter, and they're like, what the fuck is that?
Who's doing that?
Then the whole part, whenever like the birth happens, and she gets emotional, and she's like, I'm sorry, I'm invested. Like, it's like right? we're but. What I really did enjoy too is seeing, like, you know, Jimmy Woo come back, and mm-hmm. everyone's been talking about how much he's grown, like from Ant-Man and the Wasp getting marveled by those card tricks to doing it himself when he gives her the card. And so it's little stuff like that, but how they answered a bunch of questions, but didn't at the same time.
Right.
It's exactly. Like, okay, now we know that Wanda created this, mm-hmm. that whole barrier sword didn't do this. They're putting it up as a protective, as far as, like, you know, figuring out what's going on.
Exactly.
The whole thing about it being a hexagon shape is, like, interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
which also sort of explains, like, the bees or whatever.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, clearly we know now that this is something that she manifested. Mm-hmm. Vision for sure is dead. They did confirm that.
I mean,
well, they confirmed it in the sense of, like, she asked, like, he's dead, isn't he? And then when she sees him, like, we can see that that's her visual representation. So we clearly know that she manifested all this. So it's going to be curious if it's going to stay that way or if it's just going to disappear, you know? Mm-hmm. There was something else that I was going to say. I'm trying to remember. So what? This is six episodes, right? This season?
No, don't say that. That means we only have two left.
I think it is. But that's the thing. If we have two left, what the hell is going to happen with those two? Oh, I remember what it was. And then I lost it again.
That's okay. I like how they explain that this is a real town. So then they started figuring out, okay, this person's played by this person. This person's played by this person. I also love how, like, the one beekeeper guy goes in and he turns from this radiation suit into a beekeeper costume because that's what would have fit into the 1950s is a beekeeping, you know, costume, not radiation or whatever.
My apologies. There's nine episodes.
Oh, thank freaking God.
It's like, so it's gonna go
through more. I just want more. That's all. Also, I didn't know until they started talking about it in the episode or whatever. Apparently, episode one is 1950s, episode two is 60s, episode three is 70s. And I didn't really pick that up because obviously, if you showed me something from the 60s and the 50s or whatever, since they're both black and white, like I wouldn't have been that able to tell sense you that.
Because I was wondering why the quality and the camera angles and the just the visual of it was so much better in episode two, and I just assumed it was because like. First one was they aired the pilot episode,
right?
But now I'm looking at it, I was like, oh no, that was intentional, because yeah. I was like, that's kind of sloppy for Marvel, like this quality wise it's not that, but no, it was 100% intentional. So
yeah, which was very just adds to the overall lore. And
Marvel is really good at and it's intentional, we just don't know it, but for us I can see it as backtracking. Like, they're really good about explaining something that they didn't before that may not have existed, but their explanation makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I would totally agree with that. Yeah, it definitely makes you wonder, because obviously this one, the title of the episode was, like, we interrupt this program. So that was clearly like, okay, so this is just a little interruption. Then we're going to get back to things. Like, there's a couple things from the trailers that we just haven't seen, like them getting dressed up as their comic book accurate selves.
Which I know what episode that happens in, because I saw IMDb.
Oh, yeah. But either way, we haven't seen some stuff, so it's like, okay, we know there's still more to come, and yeah, oh, I'm so glad there's nine, because it's like, if we were already, like, three quarters of the way through, I'd be like, no,
I hope they keep Jimmy as a character, because that whole, I'm just thinking about that scene whenever she asked him if he wanted a ship, and they were just got done talking about kids, he was like, well, maybe at some point, thinking about a little Jimmy with an FBI badge. Oh, you're talking about a chip. Yeah, I want a chip. That just made me laugh.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, really good. I can't say I have the same hype level as The Mandalorian, but it's like, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with The Mandalorian, I'm like, I have to watch this on Friday.
Yes.
Whereas this, I'm like, well, in this case, I mean, we were busy. We were, you know, out and about, but it's like, you know, I don't have that same commitment, but it's like, oh my God, I'm invested.
I honestly think Netflix should start doing this. I mean, we talked a little bit about it last week, but I genuinely think that Netflix should start doing this. Like, I feel like maybe even just for the big ones, like the next Stranger Things or something. Mm-hmm. Like, put it up episodically. I don't know if you could do it for everyone, because there's genuinely some of them that are just good for binging. But, like, I don't know.
I would now be totally okay episodic season four of Stranger Things.
Right? Exactly. I don't know if it's because of this and Amazon. Like, it's and I don't know. The thing is that there's a really good chance that the reason, or part of the reason, rather, that they started doing this for, like, Amazon, because Amazon, The Boys season one was just boom, here's a drop, have fun with it, guys. And then season two was like, here's the first three episodes and then weekly. So it's like, I think part of the reason they did that was because, okay, it's a pandemic, we want people to be talking about this for a while, not just boom, flash in the pan or whatever. And that worked for me. It really worked for me, you know. And then this time around, Wanda was episode one and two and then weekly. Yeah,
if they just would have had the first episode, I would have been like, eh.
Right, yeah.
This first episode so far is definitely my least favorite,
yeah,
just based on content. But It makes me wonder, though, if the Mandalorian didn't do this and didn't have success, do you think others would have followed? Do you think that would that you think that was already in play, or do you think they caused that?
That's a good point. Was the Boys after Mandalorian started?
Season one, correct. Yes.
Well, season one, yeah, that's a good point.
That's
what
I'm talking about, because that was the first big name streaming show that went episodic instead of binging.
Yeah, that is a really good point.
I have them sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, gotta every once in a while. No, that's a really good point. I wonder if because, I mean, obviously, Mandalorian season two and The Boys came out very close to, like, I don't think Mandalorian was done.
I think Boys came out before, The Boys finished before season two started of The Mandalorian, I think. I'll fact check.
I guess
that.
So. 2020 was just so. And 2021 isn't looking any better, but still, like, 2020 was so weird. It's like, oh yeah, Tiger King came out.
Dude, I have lost all concept of time from last year.
Oh god, yeah. I still find myself saying, oh, when things
okay,
get back.
Okay, so remember September 4th.
September 4th. Now what?
Just remember that before I forget it.
Remember me.
Remember me. Okay, so yeah, The Mandalorian, The Boys came out September 4th. Mandalorian season 2 came out October 30th.
Oh, okay.
That's when the first episode
came out.
Yeah,
so definitely it would have been done by then. So either way, like, yeah, like, I guess then, yeah, it's not like they reacted to season 2 and then, reacted to season 1, essentially, you know? And I do think somewhat the pandemic has something to do with it, because people would basically just, they've binged everything on Netflix, they binged everything. So if they just binge through it, there's a chance that, like, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but you know, you probably know. You have a vague inclination of facts.
A vague inkling.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of vague inkling, let's get into the news. I don't know.
That was a weird one, but go ahead.
Get into the news. No, not that one. Damn it. Shut up. Welcome to Weekly Nerdy News. I am your host, Onyok. Here with me today is my co-host. What?
It's Nate. I was really confused. I'm like, why did you say your name was Onyak?
Onyak. Onyak.
And I realized what you said. Oh goodness. I don't know what was in that omelet.
Gross, but okay. All right, that's guys. Me. Let's get started with some entertainment news. The Snyder Cut gets a date. It is March 18th, 2021. All right, real talk here. Hype level, give a shit level, go.
Oh, I'm stoked. Yeah. And that's primarily because I never saw Justice League.
True.
And by the time that I was going to, I had asked, was like, should I go ahead and see how much of a train wreck it was, or just watch the Snyder Cut? And everyone was like, and this is when it was announced officially, and they were like, wait for the Snyder Cut. Mm-hmm. And so I was expecting May or sometime farther in summer. So the fact that it's coming out after tomorrow, 1 month, basically, is like, okay. Mm-hmm. Like and the fact that we're getting basically, it is episodic in a way, and it's 4 hours long total, I think. Like, it just makes me so excited. Yeah. Like, I'm genuinely excited.
Honestly, at this point, I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? Like, I genuinely don't like the fact that there's a portion, not everybody, but there's a portion of the internet that feels like this is just going to fix it. Like,
oh, I don't feel like it's going to fix the DCEU at all. I still think
That's not what I mean. I just mean, like, the movie itself.
Yes,
Joss Whedon went in and did some reshoots. No doubt about that, or whatever. But at the same time, it's like a lot of that was also what was there originally or whatever. And I don't know, like, did they confirm whether or not there was reshoots for the Snyder Cut? Or is it basically just pulled from everything they already had?
They did do some reshoots, but not like reshooting scenes, more like adding things. I think, let me actually.
So like Lord of the Rings extended edition kind of thing?
I think so. Okay. Yeah. Snyder cut reshoots. Let's look this up.
Yeah. Either way, my point is, while you're looking that up, my point is that I just feel like there is a portion of people who feel like this is the real cut, you know, blah, 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 which you could argue the ultimate edition of Batman versus Superman is better, you know, but it also just, yeah, I don't know.
So Zack Snyder's Justice League reshoots will only result in like a few minutes of new footage. So
how's it 4 hours then?
Well, because his cut, I think, because you remember the Ultimate Edition was a 3 hour cut, even a little bit longer. So I think his actual original cut was close to about 4 hours before the situation happened, before, you know, his daughter unfortunately passed away. So I think Justice League was this epic that he did intend to be like a big scale thing. Mm-hmm. Let me do. Also, we previously heard Snyder also brought back Jared Leto as Joker for some new footage. When the Suicide Squad version of Joker returns to the big screen, he'll look a little different from the last time we saw him. Mm. So, yeah, let me...
I mean, so it's not just Justice League that's, you know, the problem. It's also just the DCEU right now that is so broken that now we're going to get the Snyder cut of a four-year-old movie or something. And it's just like, okay, so we get the director's cut. And it genuinely might make the movie itself better, but then it's going to make everything else so goddamn confusing because it's like we've already gotten a new and better Joker. And we've already got another version of Harley Quinn, which granted it was still technically the regular Harley Quinn. She just broke up with Joker, yada, yada, yada.
So the only one that's, yeah, the only one that's really a strange one out here is the Joker. And I'm definitely in the camp where it's like, I can see the whole like multiverse thing. Like I am able to separate as far as, okay, like this is a one-off joke, maybe not a one-off, but a Joker story. Mm-hmm. And then that's of course with everything with the Batman. So I can see between the lines as far as differentiating them, but I'm with you. I don't think, who knows? I don't think this will fix the DCEU. I still think it's a mess. I think what they need to do is make the DCEU the multiverse already. Yeah. And so instead of having to try to continue the linear path that the MCU did, but I'm, what was I going to say? I know I'm definitely in a different camp because I never saw Justice League and I never was disappointed by it.
Right.
So I don't have that, you know, not what's the word I'm looking for.
Did you see I'm not Batman cynical. Versus Superman, the original?
Oh yes. I saw the theatrical version and then I saw the ultimate.
Were you disappointed by the theatrical version?
Slightly, yes.
Okay, then imagine that times five, and then there you go.
Well, I was more disappointed because it didn't make sense. Like, I pay attention to movies, and so when I'm in the theater...
Oh, and I don't!
Well, no. Like, when the movie finished, I immediately was like, but why did some of that shit seem off? Like, why? And it wasn't until I watched the Ultimate Edition that I saw scenes were, like, cut.
Gutted.
And I'm like, Oh, okay. So that makes so much more sense. Right, that's right. Why I think the Ultimate Edition is better because it actually tells the story. But
yeah,
I can't seem to find the specific link. Someone said it was 214 minutes long, which is 3.5 hours. But then I'd also seen something about them cutting it. So I don't think we know that for sure, but we have the release date. So that's the main thing.
Okay. Yeah. A release date for the Snyder Cut movie. Speaking of movies... Kevin Hart joins Borderlands and he's going to be playing Roland. Thoughts?
Well,
I mean, you're one of the two of us that actually likes Kevin Hart, right?
Oh, I love Kevin Hart, but it's one of those that I don't think that his movies are like Jumanji aside. Jumanji, I think, is actually great. Like the, I didn't see the sequel to, the next.
You didn't miss anything.
Welcome to the Jungle. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the first one too. So I'm saying that. Being somebody who liked the first movie, the second one was just kind of like, okay.
I do like Kevin Hart. Felt like
they just pushed something else out.
I do like Kevin Hart, and I do think Kevin Hart is funny, and I enjoy his humor. I recognize that a lot of the movies he's been in have not been great movies, but the fact that they cast him as Roland kind of already gives me the idea of where the theme of this movie is going to go, and that excites me.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess Roland out of the group felt always like a more serious guy. Like, mm-hmm. they all have their funny lines and everything, but I felt like Roland, he's the military guy, so he's a little bit more serious. So seeing Kevin Hart as somebody who's supposed to be serious, it's just like, I can't see that. Plus, I guess it is the fact that he's going to be having a gun and he's going to be doing... Like, I don't want the bumbling idiot from the ride-along as my Roland. And that's what I'm scared about. You know
I don't
mean?
Think that's going to be the case, because I'm reading the article right now, and there's the quote that they got from Eli Roth, and he says, I'm thrilled to be working with Kevin. Roth said in a statement to The Hollywood Reporter, Borderlands is a different kind of role for him, and we are excited to thrill audiences with a side of Kevin they've never seen before. Yeah. He's going to be an amazing Roland. So that kind of leads me to believe that he'll still be a little bit more serious to stay true to the character, which I'm excited to see. Cause anytime, you know, for the most part, you know, a lot of comedy actors we've seen when they do their drama stuff, you know, it can be hit or miss, but we've never seen that from Kevin. Mm. I do want to point out the article we got here is from
Shut up.
Well, no. I was gonna point out that fucking part where it's like,
oh, okay. You're gonna say who was wrote and written by?
I'm not gonna say his name. I'm not gonna give him the credit. But Jumanji star and comedian Kevin Hart has been signed to play Roland in the upcoming Borderlands movie. Yeah, I don't get it either. It's like, sure, dude. I didn't ask for your opinion. Just state the news. You know, I don't know. I don't like that guy.
Us and Ian just don't get along, motherfucker. I don't know. I am genuinely ready to be proven wrong, but like Kevin in general is just really loud, you know? And when something happens, it's like, ah! And I just don't see Roland doing that. Even if he's serious 90% of the time, right? And then 10% of the time he lets his Kevin out and he's like, ah! It's just, it doesn't fit him in such a fundamental way that it just genuinely does not excite me. I feel like so many other people could have played this role and still been funny, even if it was kind of a deadpan kind of funny or whatever. I mean, Denzel, Will fucking Smith. I feel like Will Smith, he's serious enough, but then he has that charm. And I feel like Will Smith would have been 80 times better of a Roland than freaking Kevin Hart. And I feel like Kevin Hart, he got picked because he's like the most recognizable black person other than Will Smith.
There's some comments on the article. One was like, Roland, tall, statuesque, serious shoulder, Hart, very short, modest build, professional clown, and odd choice for the role.
Yeah, good point. All good, very good, nice, good points, okay? I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know you're good. Speaking of movies and TV shows, I did a Nick segue.
Yeah, sure. I actually didn't know this. The Disney Plus Mighty Ducks reboot is going to be a series, not a movie.
That I knew. I didn't watch the trailer for it, is the only thing.
All right. Well, let's do it. We have the article up here right now. We're gonna watch it. Where is it? Just do the one
in the article itself
or whatever. So I'm clicking on it. I'm clicking. What is it doing? Oh my gosh. Okay, I gotta
play a minute long. So up.
Okay, so start at the beginning.
Yep.
Ready? 1, 2, 3. Why am I not getting audio?
Do you need to restart?
Yeah, let's stop it.
Yeah, collaborate and listen.
What's going on with my audio?
It's going. What's going on?
It must be the site, honestly. Whatever. You guys don't get sound. Start back at the beginning. 1, 2, 3. Oopsie. I made the sound effect. Beep, beep.
Are we doing it again?
What?
Are we doing it again?
Are we doing what again?
Never mind.
Damn right, never mind. Just your face. Haha, he's short. That's the lines going on right now. Then we have Meow! Anybody gets that reference? You get 2 gold stars.
He's from something.
Emilio.
Not Emilio, the kid.
Game changers. Yeah, I don't know if I just wasn't paying attention or what, but I had no idea that it was going to be an actual series rather than, you know, yada yada. So
I think this is cool because I think this is going to introduce Mighty Ducks to a new generation, and this looks like it's heartfelt. Like, this doesn't look cash grabby at all. And with the Mighty Ducks, I don't have a huge attachment to the movies. Mm-hmm. The thing I do is the animated series, because I watched that so much, like the more fantasy version of it, and I loved it.
Yeah, right.
But like, that looks, and I mean, we haven't seen Emilio Estevez in a while, so like. But I gotta look up to see where that kid's from, because I feel like he's been in something else. I'm gonna look up the Game Changers.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but yeah, he's definitely in something else. I'm totally okay with like movies from the 80s. I mean, depending on the movie, obviously, but I'm totally cool for like movies from the 80s, like the reboot being turned into a series, because like just more character, it can never be a bad thing. You know what I mean? All right, go ahead.
That's what it was. Did you see Good Boys?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's from Good Boys. Mm-hmm. That's where he's from.
Just a dumb freaking movie where they're like, huh, wouldn't it be fun if kids cursed? And that was the entire fucking movie.
Yeah. You remember Superbad? Let's do that for kids.
Yeah, let's do that for 12-year-olds that can't actually go in and see the fucking movie. Like, no fucking sense. Anyways, speaking of no fucking sense, boom! GameStop stock.
That is a good one.
GameStop stock keeps going up and up. Let's see what it is right now. Can you do me a little Google?
Had that pulled up, and let's see if it's changed. Okay. So, oh my God.
Just say it.
So right now, GameStop stock is $325 a share, which is up 67%.
From what though? Because
I think it says closed January 29th at 8:00.
God dang, dude! Like, this whole situation is so interesting, and it's also really, really weird.
It's so interesting because I'm tired of living history.
Yeah, right? That's a good point. It's so interesting in the way that this was a nothing story, mm-hmm, for the most part. And then like Robin went ahead and fucked up. And they're like, hey, let's make it so nobody can trade or whatever. And it's like, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. What the hell are you doing? You know, and a lot of people are seeing this as basically them protecting the big hedge fund people that would lose a lot of money if this just keeps going up and up and up or whatever. And it's like, well, yeah, but who the fuck cares? Like, and the funny thing is, and I totally agree with this, is that Robin was supposed to be for the everyman. Robin was supposed to be like, hey, you've never done stocks before. It's okay. We'll take 25 cents from, or we'll take the change from, or, you know, they'll round up and take your change or whatever. And yada yada, and it's like, oh wait, that's Acorn.
Never mind. Robin Hood is different. So I'm gonna submit something into evidence on this, and this is I haven't corroborated this, I haven't fact checked this, but this came from Reddit. I remember this circling around a couple days ago.
Well, that's where everything comes from.
It says Robin Hood insider information. I work for Robin Hood. Don't kill me. Low level technical shit. Computer science major, not finance side. Guess what we overheard today? Vladimir, yes, founder Vladimir, and the C-suite received calls from Sequoia Capital and the White House that pressured them into closing trading on GameStop stock. I guarantee you the same took place at E-Trade and the others who closed the trading. File reports on the SEC page. If I wasn't scared to be out of work in a pandemic, I'd quit. I'm disgusted. We all need to rise. And then it goes on basically like, you know, we need to stand against. So basically what they're saying is at Robinhood, before they stopped closing or before they stopped trading on the stock, said that they received calls from Sequoia Capital, mm-hmm, who I'm going to assume is a gigantic like hedge fund with a lot of power, and the White House basically pressuring them to stop trading. So that's basically leading to believe that that was the reason why they did that. And again, can't fact check it, haven't fact checked it yet, but I'm just sitting here going, how is it that we are so clearly seeing a hard division, and how it is the whole sentiment of, you know, rich stay rich and the poor. Yeah. I don't understand how it's not clear cut that there's manipulation going on here and the rich aren't wanting us, and their excuses. Oh, they're just, you know, they're basically trying to cause chaos. You're only saying that because you're losing billions of dollars that no one else has.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, it's such a weird situation because, did you happen to listen to the Kind of Funny Games Daily this week where they were kind of getting into it?
I didn't, but I saw a lot of people talking about how, or I think it was actually Colin Moriarty who was like, it's just funny to me how, like, I'm enjoying being on this side of it, not in games coverage, and listening to everyone in games media and games coverage not know what the fuck they're talking about. So I didn't see the Kind of Funny, but I saw a lot of people going.
So basically, Kevin comes on and talks about how, like, what the Redditors did, like, isn't that illegal? And so there's this big discussion about whether or not it's illegal or whatever. And it's interesting because it's like, I don't know, like, is it illegal? Yeah. It kind of like when you organize, right? When you organize and basically say, hey, here's this cheap stock. Everybody go and buy that stock so that the price goes up and then we can sell it. That does kind of seem like market manipulation. And it's like,
I said it's not though, and here's the thing. The reason why they were doing this is because they started to notice that there were a lot of hedge funds that were short sell, and you know, I have a brief understanding of this, so if I say wrong terminology, don't fucking roast me. They were shorting GameStop stock, so they were buying it at this certain price, and they noticed that this was going on, and so they're like, hey, let's fuck with them, because if we increase the price of the stock, then they have to buy at that stock and they're going to lose profits instead of gaining them. Okay. So Wall Street Bets was doing this to fight against the hedge funds because they were basically, I mean, and it's not illegal and it's not, it's shitty, but I mean, it's not like illegal what they were doing. So for them to go back and like have a discussion of was what Reddit did illegal? It's like, no,
is because what you were adjacent? Doing.
No, but see, that's the thing. Like, it was definitely, if it's deemed illegal, so it's the same exact thing that these hedge funds were doing. But now that a group of people are doing it, and these hedge funds have like thousands of people, so it's a lot of people who are doing this. So now that the everymen are doing this, it's illegal?
That's a good point. That's a good point. I just think it is kind of weird how, like, you can group together and basically make money. I mean, like, what's the point of stocks and the ebb and flow of stocks going up and down because of companies doing something or companies fucking up on a tweet or something? What's the point of that if all we have to do is band together and, you know, buy the crap out of one stock to make the price go up? You know what I mean? Like, that does seem kind of like it's broken. And maybe what comes of this is actually good and they figure out a way to fix their broken ass system, because it's like, you shouldn't be able to do that. Other than, yeah, the fact that they're doing it to fuck with hedge funds and the billionaires, I'm okay with that portion of it, but it does seem kind of weird that you can basically go on there and be like, hey, Judd's Apatows are only selling for $1. Everybody go to Judd's Apatow and buy it, and now all of a sudden it's 300, and boom, they sell it, and they're worth nothing again.
I feel like an argument could be made that could be considered manipulation, but the thing that started this all was, from my understanding, is the, and I don't remember the name of the hedge fund in particular, but whenever they started when Wall Street Bets started this whole thing, they got to the point that the short selling, this hedge fund got to the point where the losses they had equaled what they were valued at, which was $13 billion. And that's when everyone was like, all right, we got to do something. It's like, so I think it's gross. I think it's, I'm hoping that this isn't the start to something that's even worse, honestly.
Yeah, true. I mean, I guess the thing is that what the hedge fund people were doing was gross. It was manipulative. And once again, it might not have technically been illegal, just like what the people on Reddit did wasn't technically legal. But But at the same time, it's that whole two wrongs don't make a right or whatever. Mm-hmm. That, yay, we're fucking with the billionaires or whatever. But it's like, yeah, but you're still doing it in just an equally shady way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I guess maybe that's my problem with it. It's not necessarily the whether or not it's illegal. It's just the fact that it's like it's shitty no matter which way you're doing it. I am glad that the average man is able to now make money. But at the same time, you are just still kind of fucking with it in a certain way. And I don't know. So, yeah, moving on. Let's go into our video game news.
Yeah, speaking of stuff that we really don't understand a lot of, we have some new updates on Biomutant, which is a game that I didn't think that we would ever see the light of day in particular.
I put it under the wrong thing. What is the release date now that I think of it?
So the release date as of now, I had it pulled up. Let me find it. Is May 2021.
Yeah.
May of this year. So
I want to say this first arose, I don't know what to say, like years ago. I want to say it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, so this was from the original developers of Just Cause. They formed Experiment 101,
not yet rated.
The development studio in 2015, and then they announced Biomutant in 2017. So it's been about 4 years.
Yeah.
But and then, since
you know, the world went to shit.
Well, it's not just that, which I can, and I think you can applaud them as well. They gave an explanation the other day about, you know, what their the reason for their long silence, like why this game just went quiet for a while. And so this is coming from Screen Rant, is the article I have pulled up here. Let me find where it shows. So what's taken so long? Speaking with IGN, studio head Stefan, I can't pronounce his last name, noted that over time the game expanded in scope. For example, the script as of late 2019 sat between 80,000 and 85,000 words. The script size has since ballooned to nearly 250,000 words. The sheer size of Biomutant creates a lot of work for a crew of only 20 developers, he explained. Rather than release a glitch-filled title, ding, 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 the group hunkered down and took its time. While Experiment 101 wants to remain small, there's no denying the limitations that crop up in terms of the workflow. And so kind of the gist of everything, when you break everything down, the reason why they went quiet for about a year is because they really wanted to avoid crunch. He said, actually, it says right here, though Biomutant's QA woes and explosion in size significantly lengthened the development cycle, he insisted that THQ Nordic had remained patient. A lack of pressure from the publisher allows the crew to avoid crunch practices that plague other developers. So basically, they were like, hey, this is a lot bigger in scope than we thought. THQ's like, okay, that's fine. We'll wait. And so that avoided them having to really say anything and not have to put pressure to, you know, basically avoid crunch, which I think is really cool. And it's really something to be admired.
Definitely.
Now, as far as Biomutant, I still don't know what the fuck it is.
I mean, basically the easiest way to put it is a giant open world RPG where you play as a muskrat.
Pretty much.
Or a wet. Yeah,
they've described it as a post-apocalyptic kung fu fable.
Yes. Honestly, it looks really interesting. And then the fact that it's this giant open world or whatever, just I feel like makes it better. And then to hear that from the developers that, yeah, we went away because we weren't ready or whatever. And it's like, thank freaking God. We had a video, it's on YouTube, so you guys can go check it out. But we had a video that basically was like, you know, our hope for the new, you know, our new generation of consoles is like, hey, can we just stop putting out broken games? Can we stop putting out games that, you know, literally take a year to get right or whatever? Just freaking stop it. Like, I feel like in general, how much more money would Fallout 76, Anthem, yada, yada, yada. Like, these are games that already sold millions. But then what if then after that people are tweeting about it, people are streaming it, people are, you know, talking about how it's the second coming of Christ or whatever, because it's just such a cool game. Like, how much more are you going to, you might not sell as much on day one, but how much more are you going to sell overall when you just actually get a good freaking game out there?
Yeah. I feel like an argument can be made by some people that like that bad press can also not boost sales, but like, oh, people were talking about this, you know, that can cause some people to purchase. Not always, but I do agree with you that I think we need to get back to the point where it's like we are shipping games that are pretty much done.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, stop just, it's just like maybe the first, the first like couple of times, the first couple of times that this happened, and like Destiny maybe is a good example. The first couple of times that it happened, okay, yeah, it ended up getting better later or something, but people are starting to get smarter now. People are paying more attention. And so because of that, people are getting sick of it. So now, like, even though like something like Fallout 76 is a really good example, even though that is fundamentally better now, because now they have an update where there are NPCs and it does pretty much feel like a genuine Fallout with playing with your buddies. That's what it feels like now. But they've gone so far past what they should have been from the very beginning that how many people are genuinely going to give that a try? Not a lot.
Right.
You know?
No.
And same thing with Anthem. Like, Anthem will put out something and it will be interesting. There's no doubt about that. But how many people are just like, it's the whole trust thing with like Cyberpunk 2077. I would love to go try that out. Honestly, I would. But there's just part of me that's like, well, what's the point? You know, it's like, one, I would be saying that it's okay to make games like this. And two, like, I'm putting my trust in somebody who just doesn't really deserve it.
Right, right. And
what is going on screen? Jesus.
So that's the thing. That's what I was actually going to comment on. This doesn't really answer my question of what this game is, but I'm fascinated, especially to find out that this is only a 20-person team.
Oh, did you see that? He had a glider.
Especially to find out that this is only a 20-person team makes a little bit more sense why this doesn't look as like top tier as you would expect. But it's like, I'm interested. I can't say I'm going to buy this day one, but if this is something that comes out as a trial, I will definitely try it to see if it's something that I like. To throw in with Cyberpunk, I will say this. So I did purchase. I did get that from Best Buy. But here's the thing. What I got for the $35 that I paid was super impressive. I haven't started the game yet, but like I got, it came with a steelbook. It came with postcards, a world map, like a whole bunch of stuff. Like,
so you got the ultimate edition for like $30?
Basically, yeah.
You got a markdown like 70, maybe even more dollars.
Well, no. I think that's the base game. Like, it didn't have any.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it was like the base game. It wasn't like extended edition, and it's kind of one of those. I can see the love that CD Projekt Red have in terms of like the, because most developers don't do that for a standard edition. Right. They don't give you like, you know, that kind of stuff. So, I am curious to try it. I think that since the PS4 Pro patch, it's gotten better. Ooh. So I'm going to see. But yeah, I'm still with you. Like, I can't fathom what's going on screen, but I'm also fascinated at the same time.
Right. Like, not fathoming is actually like part of the, oh my God, you have a little squid submarine. What the hell, dude?
Like, it gives me kind of Jack and Daxter vibes almost.
Ooh, that's a good point. Like a big ass open world Jack and Daxter, whatever. And obviously we got a little bit of Shadow Colossus because we got giant ass, you know, what you call it?
Yeah.
Creatures or whatever. Like, this genuinely, even before this trailer, which this is my first time seeing this. Apparently this came out in June or something.
Mm-hmm.
But this is my first time seeing this. But genuinely, this is awesome. And so them saying that, yeah, we just stayed silent because, oh, there's a mech. Because we wanted to do good. I'm like, okay, you're sold. This right here, and the fact that their statement was pretty much, we didn't want crunch and we wanted to make the game right. That for me is the day one purchase right there. You know? Yeah. And the fact that it just happens to be like this awesome looking RPG. And then you were saying how this is 20 people and you can definitely see it. This is 20 people and that actually impresses me. You know what I mean?
Well, so whenever I saw this trailer and I was like, is it still, was it still like pre, because it's one of those that in terms of a next gen game, it looks really great, but there's something that like, you know how some like AAA games, there is a polish there that you just see. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I didn't see that initially, but seeing that it's a 20 person team, I'm like, oh, it makes me look at this completely different. Yeah, so I thought definitely. It was more of a massive team. And I'm like, why does it look like this for a massive team? But yeah, I am excited. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. I still don't know what it is, but I really want to try it.
Yeah, definitely. I'm interested. I'm intrigued. Let's do it. Let's do it. Day one, you and me, we're doing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Going on to more sad news. It looks like Jeanette Mouse, which I could be pronouncing that last name incorrectly, has passed away. If you don't know who she is, which you know, I didn't know either. She's one of the sister witches or whatever they're called from Resident Evil Village. But she passed away at 39. So it's that's, and I'm trying to see if it shows. If it shows what she, like, how she passed away.
Oh, cancer.
Oh, it was cancer. Oh, okay.
Fuck cancer.
Okay. Yeah. But it's so this story was really interesting when it came out because the story behind these girls and the main villain is just how horny the internet's been.
Right.
And it's like everyone's want, and then so this happens and it's kind of like a kind of gives you more humility. It's like, oh, right. Okay. Like it's yeah. I mean, there's not really much that I can say. It's definitely sad to see, especially someone, you know, passing away so young. So I mean, yeah, right. Fuck cancer. It's the best way I feel like you can say that.
Yeah, and I mean, I'd say the thing that probably sucks the most is that for the most part, this was supposed to be a really breakout role for her. Mm-hmm. And so for that to happen right when she could have been getting her very breakout role and, you know, maybe this could have opened up so many avenues for her. I think that's probably the saddest thing because it's just like right there on the cusp of it, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it just sucks. It just genuinely sucks.
Yeah. I am excited to see her role though, because it's kind of one of those, the only thing that's really good, quote unquote, about when something like this happens to a project that's going to release is it makes you focus on that character and you can really respect and really admire the performance that they're making if it's good.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. You know, feels weird to segue out of it, but going back into more video games, we have our, announcement for the February PlayStation Plus games for this year. And what a doozy. Doozy.
I feel like I should have known this, but it took watching a YouTube video to know this. Apparently you can go onto your PlayStation app and redeem the PlayStation 5 free games.
You can do it on the PlayStation 4 too.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm just saying that even if you don't have a PlayStation 5, you can just do it on your app or whatever. And like, I feel like I should have known that, but for some reason I just didn't, you know, either that or like, maybe I thought I had to do it online and, you know, go through a bunch of like back doors to do it correctly, but no, just do it on your app or whatever. So like, luckily I got Maneater from last month. And this month for sure, I'll pick up Destruction All-Stars and I'll do the Control Ultimate for the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. So I'm excited about that. Sorry, go ahead and say the list.
Well, yeah, no, that's what I was going to say is you can actually, if you don't know, you can redeem it on the PlayStation 4 console itself, the PS5 game. You can't download it, but you can add it to your library. You can't do it day one. So like day one, when on the 7th, when they release, you can do Control and Concrete Genie, but it's later in the month is when you can do it on. Cause that's what I did for,
interesting.
Not Maneater. I think it was for December's, for Bugsnax. Yeah. I redeemed it on the console. But I just couldn't.
See, Bugsnax would have been perfect because like, honestly, there's no way in hell I'm ever going to pay for that game. So that's one I would have genuinely liked to at least try. So anyways, so the list is Control Ultimate Edition, Destruction All-Stars, and Concrete Genie.
So Destruction All-Stars is interesting because this game was pushed from launch initially, and now it's, which I think is cool. I think that it kind of shows a commitment to like how Xbox is with Game Pass, to where this game, you know, PlayStation's like, you know what, we'll just put it on Plus. It's one of our in-house games, you know, we're and I do appreciate that. I think it's awesome that we get the ultimate edition of Control.
Right.
Especially the regular. Right. Especially for me and you, because we neither of us finished it when it was on PS Now. Like, I know I didn't. And so the fact that we're getting it, but here's another thing that's cool. Cause obviously when this was announced, there was a lot of people taking, it's like, I literally just bought the ultimate edition of Control on sale. And someone else, I don't know if this was for everyone, but someone else had posted a screenshot from Sony customer support. And they were like, we get it. They refunded him what he paid for Control. Nice. And he was like, we see you didn't download it. So we just went ahead and added the credits back to your account. So that's,
so that's the caveat, as long as he didn't download it or whatever. So.
Right. Right. Yeah. So that's really cool. And the fact that we get the PS4 and PS5 version, I mean, that saves me from having to buy it again on PS5.
Right. Which the ultimate is, that's the reason we're getting both versions, not necessarily because we're getting Control, but because it's ultimate. And
well, also so you have all the DLCs.
Yeah, exactly. So starting up at the top, Control, yeah, like you said, we both played it on PlayStation Now. We both, for the most part, loved it. It was just like, you know, other shit was happening. So yeah. Now getting it and getting the Ultimate Edition and getting it for the PlayStation 5 whenever we both finally able to get it is awesome. Destruction All-Stars, they just put out a Nintendo State of Play, which I guess State of Plays are now Nintendo Directs, where they'll focus on one game or whatever. I didn't realize that. Apparently, that's what it is now. Any hosers. So they did a really long, I don't know, like 13, 14 minute long kind of thing where they went through basically everything. And I'm like, okay, I genuinely thought this was just a dumb game where you just crashed in. It's like there are certain game modes where it's like, you know, you have to crash into people, you grab their gears, and then you go and bank them or whatever. And I'm like, okay, so there's a little bit of strategy. It's not just run around and crash into each other. It's like there is some strategy to it, and there's also strategy to what type of car you're in. Do you want, you know, a muscle car? Do you want a big-ass tank car? So it's like, okay, I can get into this a little more. Excuse me.
Yeah, but the fact that we get it for free on PlayStation 5 is really cool because, you know, it's one of those, this looks like it's fun, but I can't tell you that I would have spent money on this over something else.
Right. And then, like you said, the fact that they did take the time to actually make it good, I feel like, for the most part, I mean, you can definitely come up with some examples or whatever, but for the most part, it's like, when it's an in-house production or whatever, it's like that's the way every game should be treated. Every game should be treated like a PlayStation exclusive or Xbox. Because as soon as you go out of the in-house studios and you got your Activisions and your EAs and your Ubisofts and now apparently CD Projekt Reds, like they're too money focused. They're too timeline focused. Where it's like, how long did it take The Last Guardian to come out? You know? Did Sony pressure them to put it out just because? No. You know, should they have? Maybe, but...
Well, see, with this, like, this is a game that, again, I wouldn't have probably spent money on.
Exactly.
Just because, but, like, it looks awesome. Like, I'm watching the gameplay footage, and it looks really good. So imagine seeing this on a PS5. Exactly. Now, here's the thing. Out of everything, Concrete Genie, I think, is the one I'm the most excited about.
True. Very true.
And that's because I heard so much good things about how just wholesome and how beautiful this game is. And the fact that you also you can do the PSVR version was like, oh, I really want to get this. It's just kind of one of those. It's like, oh, I want to spend money somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But this seems also like a perfect PlayStation Plus game for me, because it's one of those that it's one I really, really, really want to play. And now I have the chance to.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it this gives me like old PlayStation 3 vibes, like Infamous and that just kind of, you know, artistic nature of the PlayStation.
Yeah.
So that's the one I'm honestly the most excited for.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have to agree because Destruction All-Stars, obviously, I can't even play. Control is more of a...
I'm going to wait for PS5 to finish.
Yeah. Yeah. Control is definitely something that, like, I've already played, so that's a definite. I know I'm going to like that. Concrete Genie, like you said, heard so many good things about, and it's the one that I haven't played, so that excites me way more than a game that I know is good and a game that I won't be able to play until I get a brand new system. So for me, yeah, definitely Concrete Genie just seems like such a fun time, and kind of going back almost to a time of your Jack and Daxters, your Ratchet and Clank,
yeah,
where it's like, here's this big open area. There's going to be some, you know, collectathons kind of things where it's like, okay, find every painting and paint it or whatever. And
yeah,
super exciting.
One thing I thought was interesting to fit, wrap this one up. I went to pushsquare.com and they did a poll. And I don't know if they do this for every month, but it was like, are you happy with your PlayStation Plus games for February? And out of 791 votes, 65% yes, very happy. 18% said, yeah, mostly happy. And then really 5% were like, no, it's a crap selection. And then they asked, which game are you looking for the most? And obviously Control is the biggest one, followed by Destruction All-Stars and then Concrete Genie. But like, I'm not surprised that Control is the most voted one, because I mean, that is a big name title. But to see that many people go, yes, I love this, it's like, that's really good. Like, because we shit on their game.
It's not more.
Yeah, honestly. But I mean, we've had our fair share of shitting on the month's games. And so to see them starting 2021 so strong with these past 2 months, it's like, damn. Mm-hmm. We had Shadow of the Tomb Raider and now Control is like, man. Lastly,
of talking to people dead.
Thank you. I didn't know where to go with that one. we have the medium review roundup.
I wanted mine medium rare.
So for full transparency, this is a game that neither one of us, I feel like, will play anytime soon, primarily it being a Series X game.
I mean, I might if I can pick it up on like the cloud or whatever.
That's a good point for Game Pass. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I forget about that, honestly. That's a thing.
That is.
But so far from what I'm seeing, it's basically getting, you know, C's, you know, around 71 on Metacritic right now. But what's interesting is when you scroll down like to the actual reviews themselves, a lot of them are like 9s, 10s, 80s, 100. So it seems
it's some asshole like at Gaming Bible that gave it a 30% that just fucks the numbers. Because I mean, the reviews themselves, there are 61 critic reviews and 468 user reviews. This is probably one of the first, let me refresh just in case. Oh, there you go, 609. This is one of the very few times that like critics and people seem to agree. You know what I mean? Like that, I feel like that happens. Either one is above and the other one's below, or vice versa, or something. So it is interesting to see that everybody pretty much just agrees. Yeah, it's a pretty good game.
Yeah, I mean, it looked. I didn't. This is one of the ones I didn't pay much attention to during, like, you know, the E3 of this past year or any kind of games coverage. Mm-hmm. I saw the whole technical thing of switching in between worlds and that being a huge thing, but. It looks cool. I mean, did you pay more attention than I did as far as what the game's about or like kind of your interest level in it?
I mean, honestly, if I am able to get like a Game Pass or whatever, I'm able to play this, it interests me in the fact of one, the Silent Hill composer worked on this, and even if you just look at it, it seems like a Silent Hill kind of spiritual successor because of the whole switching between rules and just the overall like aesthetic or whatever. So for me, this is definitely like a perfect like October game, for instance. Pick it up in October, even though it's not like scary, quote unquote, just the atmosphere and just everything would be really cool for like October. And so for me, if I do get the chance, I would genuinely like to play this. And this seems like just kind of it's a throwaway game. And I feel like some people actually rated it that way because it's like, you know, yeah, it's a good game for what it is. You know, just three people out of 60 something were just like, yeah, don't know yet.
Yeah.
Nyeh.
Yeah.
Where I felt like I was going somewhere with that. And I'm not sure where I was going with that. Not sure at all. La di da di da.
And that's what I would say is if this is the first game we've got of like the batch of next generation games that it's like getting mid reviews but still a good game. It's like that almost makes the other stuff that we haven't seen yet potentially or have the potential to shine a lot more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, is that it? Let's read, like, we got a 100 right here. The medium never hits a flat note. I beat the game in two long sittings, and there was never a point during either that I felt that the game dragged or could have used a little more polish or left too many loose ends hanging. All right, cool, cool. Now let's see what's the negative. Gaming Bible. Buried underneath the messy narrative of the mundane gameplay, there's a good game in here. Somewhere. But for the most part, the medium is a game that I'm very happy to put behind me. It is so weird. Just like sometimes it makes me wonder if somebody like that, for instance, was forced to play the game rather than volunteering to play the game. Because it's just like when you do see what the game is, and it's very much like the, you know, it might not be like the tank styles from back in the Resident Evil days, but it's like that's what it looks like. It looks like that style of game. And so if you go into the game and I'm like, where's all the action? I'm supposed to have a sword. But it's this narrative very close to almost like a walking simulator. And you come out of it just being like, that was dumb or whatever. It's like, who's to blame there?
You know what this kind of reminds me of? Maybe not gameplay-wise, but the ambience. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the really dark Alice in Wonderland game that came out?
I can see you. Is that a chicken nugget?
That was a pancake delivery.
Very stealth.
Much stealth. But... that's why I started laughing because I heard her. I didn't know she was doing it. I didn't realize she was crawling. But do you remember the dark Alice in Wonderland game? The Alice Fantasy.
Yeah.
That kind of gives me that world and ambience. So that kind of gives it a little bit more interest to me because it's like, oh, there's that kind of nostalgia. Like I haven't had that kind of game in a while.
And so I guess that's kind of my point is that like this very much seems like an old style game. And so if you go into it expecting really it to be this, what?
I said, and to me, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Exactly, like, exactly. So if you go into expecting anything else, then it's just like, well, like once again, whose fault is that? All right, let's look at this one. That one's too long. I don't like it. Blubber Team did a very good job here. Really enjoyed it. Good story, beautiful graphics. I can only recommend it. Great game, new perspective, great sound, story, worth buying for sure. Then let's look at this zero. Is that supposed to be poop? Poop 22 frames per second on the Xbox Series X. Who thought ray tracing split screen was a good idea? Don't tell me it's rendering two worlds at once because it's rendering two split screens. Literally, the PlayStation 3 can do that with ray tracing off. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I think that's going to be the show. I mean, I'm very excited to finally get back into the season of when games are actually coming out. Cause like, if you look at February, for instance, cause usually the first like episode of the month or something will do like, hey, here's everything coming out or whatever. But like nothing's coming out this month. And it's like pre-pandemic, January, February, March used to be the place where people would just dump stuff because it's like, okay, either we're not ready for the holiday season, or we want to avoid the holiday season and get a really good bump, you know? Mm-hmm. So I can't wait till we get back into that. Not only that, but even just like Netflix said that we're going to have a new movie every week or whatever. And it's like, okay, but when's the good ones coming? Because it's like, I think they put out like a child's movie this week and it's just like, okay.
Was so that one with Anthony Mackie one of them?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Because I mean, I saw the trailer for it, but I didn't know if that was one of the ones that was like, yeah, a new movie every month. Did you? God bless. Yeah, did you watch that one?
Well, yeah, I did a review.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. I had one cup of coffee, and I'm like, I'm still brain fog.
Sherry, all I hear is excuses. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Weekly Nerdy News. I was Nick.
And I was Nate.
And you guys, have yourself a good one. Fingers number five. Girl, you look mighty fine. Won't you rub your fingers?